Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
Yes, indeed. Be part of the show. 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. Jeff Lightsey Jr., Nick Valvano, Tanner Bertomesso in for Bobby V today on ESPN 680-1057. We'd love to hear your guys' thoughts. This texter says MJF is a no-tipper. That is a wrestler from AEW, and he is...
I didn't know who that was. I was going to ask, who's MJF?
He's like their top guy over in AEW. He's awesome. Okay. Like, he's fantastic, but his whole thing was, and I'm not excusing it, but he... I don't know how big a wrestling fan you are, but there's the term kayfabe in wrestling. Kayfabe means like the storyline.
Okay.
So gotcha. If you're like, you know, Jeff the, you know, the psychopath Lightsey,
yeah,
like, and your character is just a lunatic, that's your kayfabe character. Jeff Lightsey Jr. is a nice guy in real life. But kayfabe, he's a lunatic.
Yeah.
He sets guys on fire and hits them with baseball bats and stuff. But if you were to stay in kayfabe, like when you did interviews, you would stay in character, basically. Mm. So kayfabe, he was for a while like the biggest douchebag. Like, and he would stay in character, which was actually kind of fun. Like, he would go to like wrestling conventions and flick off little kids and make like, but it became so much fun. Like, yeah. People knew that he was being
the character.
That. Yeah. But he would blur the lines to the point where you're like, maybe he really is a douchebag.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
What about was the guys that you interviewed? What was his name again?
Cody Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes. Did he stay in character or did he?
I mean, it's easy because he's the ultimate baby face. He's the ultimate good guy right now. So he didn't have to be.
Some reason
like
I thought he
douche.
Was supposed to be a jerk.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. He is as great a good guy as he is, and he's an excellent good guy. He's the top good guy right now in WWE. He is probably an even better bad guy. Like he really reinvented himself. I mean, he played a bad guy a lot, but then became like this ultimate conniving bad guy when he was away from WWE. And a lot of fans are kind of clamoring for that Cody to come back because he's just so compelling as a bad guy.
Gotcha.
I mean, that's how he got the nickname. You know, his dad was the American Dream. He was the American Nightmare. Mm. And that's how he got his like nickname and everything like that. But when he was in there, he was pretty much just being himself, you know. But he also, you know, could talk about, you know, behind the curtain a little bit.
He
did a pretty good job. Like wrestling, I mean, a lot of people, you know, they do a good job of straddling that line of trying to stay in storyline, but also being like, come on, we all know that wrestling is.
Out of all the, because you've talked to a lot of people, interviewed a lot of people, all the interviews you've ever done, where does the Cody Rhodes rank? Is it towards the top? Is it like in the middle? Is it like
probably towards the top?
Okay. Yeah.
That was just really cool. I mean, for him to come in studio and actually talk.
That matters.
That was really neat. But we've had a lot of wrestlers and each of them have been very good and none of them were really like stayed in character like kayfabe. They were real. Like, and for the most part, I think every person that we interviewed when they came in, with the exception of one, was a good guy at the time. Jeff Jarrett came in and he was like he's like a career bad guy, but he's also reached the point of he's a legend. So he can kind of like, okay, on screen, I'm a bad guy, but I'm a legend in the business. So I'll be a legend when I'm being interviewed and everything and just be really fun and easygoing and everything like
That's
pretty
cool.
So, yeah. So he was really nice. We've had Paul White, formerly known as The Big Show, come in studio.
Yes.
He was great. Mickey James, there's never been an interview I've been more nervous about than Mickey James because she was a high school crush. of mine.
Okay.
So there's never been like one where like I've never had to interview somebody that I was like googly-eyed over. And like there's a term in wrestling called marking out. That's when you just like fanboy.
Yeah.
I kind of fanboyed that interview a little bit. Like looking back on it, I was like, oh, that was cringe. Like I was a little bit like, you know, hi. Like I was like the Chris Farley character. You know, I was like, hey, remember that time you wrestled? And you wrestled? Like, I mean, it was like, it was kind of hovering around that level of interview. If I ever have a chance to interview her again, I promise I'll be a little bit more professional. But, yeah, but I wonder if MJF not tipping was him just kind of staying in that douchebag character.
That makes sense.
I don't know. This texter says, is he cheap like 15% or cheap like doesn't tip? Just because he's rich doesn't mean he should give ridiculous tips. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. But I do think at the same time, like if you're rich and you're not at least hitting the 15%, you know, margin, come on. Mm-hmm. Come on. Like you have no excuse.
Yeah.
No. Like
15% is, come on.
15% isn't even like you know, it's 20% nowadays.
Yeah, it really should be 20.
Yeah. But I mean, 15 is still like the accept. Like if I leave with a 15% tip, I go, eh.
Okay.
Like, but I'm like, okay. Like I can't get mad. I can't get really mad that it's a bad tip. It's just, it's like the bare minimum. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now, anything below 15%, your boy gets salty. Your boy gets salty. Like I, to the point where I'm like, I need to talk to my therapist. Like this is levels of anger and like vitriol that I don't think is healthy for a person to have.
That is so funny. 'Cause Nick, hearing you get mad is like hilarious because like I'm running around here. There's a lot of stuff that happens. People are always poking fun at you and stuff. And it's just kind of like, you know, whatever. I'm not saying that you haven't gotten mad here before,
right.
But just while I've been around, it's like, Nick, like being pissed off at somebody. Like, only that. Well, I take that back. The Italian rankings thing.
Oh, that.
Right?
Yeah,
it sounded like you were pissed off. That
set actually, me off.
I wasn't here that day, but listening to it,
I was a little salty.
He sounds pissed.
I was a little, you know, but like I realized this is why therapy is great.
Yeah.
I realized what I was mad at. I was mad because I was felt a little insecure that I hadn't been to Italy yet. So all the people that were getting ranked ahead of me had been to Italy. And I was a little like, well, if that's what, you know, counts, then screw you guys.
Yeah,
like, and so I got a little, but no, that was, first off, it's radio. It's almost like wrestling.
Yeah.
We crank everything up to 11. Like, but I legitimately was a little miffed about that. When Entz was put ahead of me and his name is,
what did it.
And his name is Entz, I just was like, come on, man. Like, I don't burn when I go in the sun, you know, like, come on, man. Like, I can do, my name ends in a vowel that is an E.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't look Anglo as hell. Like, come on. I was like, no, you can't. Yeah. But got love for my boy Entz, of course. But no, we saw something in the break that I think is interesting. The EA football rankings came out for
the hardest places to play. So right now, as we know, College Football 25 is coming out next month. It's a big deal. I think we're getting I think we're getting an ESPN Louisville College Football tournament together. And it's a
That'd
project
be awesome.
me, Blank, and Drew are working on. I think we have a venue and everything.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
It's just getting the logistics, and we'll release more information when we have it. But, like, we have the venue. That's locked in. We're just getting the other logistic stuff. But anyway, the game has released the hardest, well, what they have ranked as the hardest places to play. And Tanner had a guess. He thought the hardest place would be LSU. And that would make sense. Death Valley down in LSU.
Right. That would have been one of my guesses.
Yes. That was not number one. Number one was actually Kyle Field, the 12th man down at Texas A&M. Number two, they actually had Bryant Denny at Alabama. Then Death Valley Tiger Stadium, LSU. Ohio Stadium with Ohio State. LSU was number three. It was Texas A&M 1, Alabama 2, LSU 3, Ohio State 4, Georgia 5, Penn State 6, Wisconsin number 7, which I was kind of surprised by that, Oklahoma, down at Oklahoma OU number 8, number 9, Doak Campbell down at Florida State, and then number 10, the Swamp, Ben Hill Griffin in Florida. Thoughts on the top 10 rankings, fellas? Is that right, wrong?
I mean, all blue bloods in college football.
For the most part.
Yes, for the most part. So fitting. And even the ones that aren't, you know, blue bloods are in that second tier, I feel like. The Wisconsin one, you kind of jumped out. And
it does.
John Bowl might, you know, be like, no, like we throw down up there.
Probably jump around, dude. Wisconsin will get wild.
Yeah. No, it's a thing. The place I was actually surprised didn't make it, and I think this actually plays into kind of their falling in the hierarchy of college football. There's no Clemson on here.
I was just about to say that. There's no Death Valley.
There's no Death Valley Clemson, you know, on here. And I think that's because, now I could say that, but Florida hasn't been good in a while. They cracked the top 10. But to have Wisconsin and Oklahoma over a Clemson, I think shows the lack of respect people are having. Like, they don't think Clemson is Clemson anymore.
Yeah. I got a top 25. Clemson, they have them at 12.
Which I still, them not cracking the top 10 to me.
Oregon's above them. Tennessee's 13. 14.
I thought they would be. I thought Tennessee could crack it too. I did think Tennessee would. I think they can fit 105, maybe 110,000, and they're always the checkerboard.
Right.
You know, a bunch of them in white, a bunch of them in yellow, and it's like I thought they may crack the top 10. But
where's Notre Dame? Just out of curiosity, because
21.
I thought Notre Dame would be lower.
Yeah,
I could see them being lower.
Iowa, Texas, all right. So Clemson 13, 14 Auburn, 15 South Carolina. 16 Michigan, which I thought would be a little bit higher.
I thought they'd be higher. That was the one that was missing
from me too.
Yeah.
And then 17 Virginia Tech, 18 Utah, 19 Texas, 20 Iowa, 21 Notre Dame, 22 Michigan State, 23 Arkansas, 24 Boise State, and then 25 Mississippi State.
Okay. They have the bells, right? Isn't that the the cowbell thing?
The one thing I've found out about the game is, like I mentioned, like jump around with Wisconsin. I don't think they're going to be able to like incorporate those songs in the game. Like, we're not going to be able to hear Enter Sandman when you're like Louisville and you start a game against them. Yeah, like, which is kind of disappointing.
Yeah, that is a little but
well, that's the licensing music stuff. So yeah, that makes sense.
It makes sense.
But what about Tanner, Nick, top 10 rankings? Is would you change number one? Is Kyle Field number one to you?
Or I don't.
Not when Jimbo's there.
Yeah, like it wouldn't have been my first guess.
Hell no.
It would have been like top 10, but I would have gone with Bama. Like I'm surprised. The two I'm surprised that weren't in the top 10 were Clemson and Michigan.
Yes,
those were the two that jumped out at me. And I do think
Texas. I think Texas at 19 is a good one. Is crazy.
Texas at 19 is low.
Texas at 19, that's a little low. I do agree. I was actually thinking. I was like, what are the toughest spots to play in the ACC? And it was Clemson. And then I like smacked my head. I was like, oh yeah, duh. Like Virginia Tech, that's a good one.
I think they've
one.
Been down for so long though.
They
I think
have
that's
been,
why but, people. But when they were at its peak,
oh god,
it was.
And the Enter Sandman entrance is still one of the most iconic things.
Ever since Lynn Bowden threw a touchdown, which he never did before, they just went downhill.
That's a good point.
He runs the whole game, and then last game or
throws,
last play of the game,
one
he's like,
touchdown pass
over the top,
and that just that knocks you out of the top 10. No, but
Sandman wasn't even cool, anyways, guys.
I'm surprised about Michigan just added the sheer size of it.
I'm trying to think
100,000+.
Like I'm trying to think of like if I put together a top 10, who would I like? What schools would I have? I would have to add.
I'd probably change the order a little bit.
Yeah,
I would have probably kept the same top 10. I just would have had Clemson and Michigan in there over maybe instead of Wisconsin.
I can't really speak on Boise State.
Yeah.
Not really watching Mountain West football.
So I would probably.
But for top 10.
A team that I think has also slept on that's not in this top 25, but based on their games last year, I thought like just looked tough to play. That's Washington.
Yeah.
I think
that's a good one.
Like Michael Penix. Now, granted, they lost their coach and they lost their quarterback. Well,
they have a massive stadium,
but
it just looked like
it was loud.
like
I don't know. It's because they had just this magical season, and I've never like they've always had great players come through Washington.
Yeah, right.
But I just never really paid attention to Washington football until last year because they were so good. And that
they
place
love their football there.
Man, it looked like that place was jumping. Just like. you know, with the Huskies. And I'm like, I could see them being in the top 25.
And they didn't make the top. They weren't even in the top 25, were they?
No, they weren't.
That's surprising. I mean, yeah, home of the, you know, the 12th man in the NFL and everything. So, no, I mean, that one would make sense.
So
I just based on the sheer size of the Big House, though, that was the one that surprised me that
it
wasn't.
It's packed every game.
Every single game.
Every game it's packed. I would put, so my number one would have been Death Valley LSU. I would have had them number one. Then I probably would have went. Alabama Bryant Denny at number two.
I would have boosted Samford up for Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Between the hedges.
Between
they
the
go
hedges.
Wild.
I was just about to say. Where did Georgia show up in there?
They're at five.
They're at five.
I probably would have kept them around there. Ohio State, like those, that 5-6. Penn State, I definitely like Penn State a lot. I probably take Michigan out. I mean, Wisconsin out of top 10 and put Michigan in. I'm not mad at. I might move Doak Campbell, Florida State down some too. I think I definitely moving Oklahoma down. I am, and I'm moving Neyland, Tennessee up, and Michigan up. Those are the two that I think would take the biggest jump if I made
it. Would it be crazy for me to replace Death Valley Clemson with Doak Campbell? Like, just have them trade spots? Like, put Doak Campbell, like, 12, and then put Clemson in whatever position?
Bad. That's not at 9. Yeah, they would put Clemson at 9. Because Doak Campbell at 9, I think that's too high. I personally do.
I mean, maybe it's just because Florida State's been so up and down the past, like, you know, 10
maybe
years.
Maybe we just hate them. I don't know. Maybe it's because I just hate them.
There's a tiny part of me that, like, but, like, we're not huge fans of Clemson either, but it's still Death Valley. Like,
yeah.
And I think also maybe because when Louisville was at its highest peak in the past 10 years, it was that game, that primetime game in Death Valley in that environment.
Lamar versus Watson.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that might be, like seared in my brain a little bit. And so I feel like that might be kind of skewing my rankings for Clemson.
Same, the Howard's Rock, the little run down the hill, like all of that stuff like matters. And it's a lot of people. It's the South. They love their football. I think, I would have Death Valley Clemson definitely in the top 10, though.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have them at 12. I would definitely have them in the top 10 before Florida State. So, like, swapping them wouldn't. I think that makes perfect sense. And then not having the Big House in the top 10.
That just surprised me. Where did Michigan come in?
They were down. They were low. They were like, what number is this? They were, 16. Had them at 16.
Wow. Yeah. Not even the top 15. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Some old man at LSU told Max Godbey to die. That's a good point. Forgot about that. Yeah.
Wow. Didn't know that. Oh my
that's goodness. A good point. Yeah, Max told that story on the roundtable. So, I feel like that.
I wonder where players were ranked. Like, I mean, obviously they haven't played in all these stadiums. But, like, we had J.J. You know, they had J.J. Weaver on Friday. I wonder, because he talked. That was one thing he said, too. He talked about how, you know, playing at Kentucky, he gets to, like, this year, I think they play at Texas at Texas, and he played Florida at Florida and the Swamp and these different places. And I'm wondering, like, you know, if you rank your top five places, which would all be SEC places, like, what would be the top five places you played? And he would probably go, you know, playing at Florida, at Death Valley or whatever, at Alabama if they did. Like, I'm pretty sure those would be
probably
some,
be
just where,
pretty high.
But where?
Well, I wonder what makes it a tough spot to play. Is it just the fact, like, is it just strictly sound? Is it just how loud it is? Is it the fact that you have old people telling you to die? Like, is it maybe, like, the environment around the stadium?
So,
like,
I think it's all of it encompassing. I think, too, with these massive stadiums to seat 100,000, like, even in the NFL, you won't see that.
Right.
Like, NFL stadiums typically don't get large in, like, 60, 70. And so when you're getting to 100, like, you're adding layers on top of layers.
Right.
And it's kind of like, I don't even see the clouds anymore. Like, I just see people. And they're all screaming at me. That is insane. And then, like you said, when there's so many people, something's going to pierce through the sound that you can hear. And then when you're on the sideline, they're really, really close. And then some of these places, they may get really, really angry, especially if you sneak out of there with a win.
Right.
You know, like, if you get out of there with a win. So,
like, if you're actually, like, worried about your safety.
Exactly.
Like, I wonder. Yeah. Like, and also, I wonder how they're going to incorporate that into the game. Is it just going to be one of those things, like, it shakes, you know, and you have to, you know, like they used to do
squiggly lines. Yeah, like when Madden, you could turn it up, and the lines on the wide receiver routes would look squiggly and stuff. Yeah, oh, that was actually funny.
Yeah, that was cool. That. Do you remember the what was it, the old NCAA video game? Like when you were doing like a free throw, it would like you know, shake, and that you had to like get the timing right and everything. Yeah, like I it'll be interesting to see how they incorporate that.
Oh, and it was the little box, but it was like the oh my god. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The rectangle.
On yeah. One would go up and down.
Yeah.
One
depending
go
on how good the free throw shooter was.
Guy, yeah. If the guy was like a 99, it was just like
super
so
slow.
Easy. And then like your center's up and.
Yeah. Just, oh, and God. It would be like so small, so you could never get. Yeah. The worst free. This is where we're going with this. The worst free throws to ever do was when the early days of 2K. So like 2K2, 2K3. You would have to, on PlayStation, would have to. There would be two arrows like pointing towards the rim, and you would have to be able to line both arrows up and press X
and time it
in order to make a free throw.
Oh wow,
it's like impossible.
Yeah, really, that was like, god,
you
gotta really
use
tough.
Both your thumbs and a finger to it was awful.
It was tricky.
That was not fun, but to make a free throw, that's
what. And that was early 2K,
that was like
right?
Yeah, 2K2, 2K3 days.
Okay,
those
yeah
were early.
Yeah, I never played 2K back in those
yeah
days,
most
so
people had live. I had 2K3 on PlayStation, and yeah, and that's when like that was part of their evolution. Like, yeah, we can't make our free throws.
I think
stupid.
Like back then, was that, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that was like the NBA Street era.
Street,
like, yeah, because that was like my basketball game in NCAA 2003. Those were like my basketball games when I was like a kid growing up.
Yeah, so NBA Street was a big thing. Street Volume 1, Street Volume 2, even Street V3, and then NBA Live by EA were the big. Like,
yeah,
that was the big NBA game. People that had 2K were kind of like, you know, like that was before 2K was cool.
Yeah,
like, 2K
right
is the thing now.
Right.
But like for a while, it was NBA Live up until probably about like 06, 07 is when 2K started kind of taking over.
You know, a game I've heard is way too good, but I never got to play it because whenever I found it in my house, it was broken.
Was that
ESPN NFL 2K5 with like Terrell Owens
and
on
it had the first person view?
Yeah, I never got to play it. Was
an
it
underrated
that awesome
football game? It was
with the catching the one hand.
Yeah.
That was sick, man.
No,
yeah,
that
2K,
was
NFL 2K. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was a. That's a. We could do like, you know, as we get further into summer, we might do like the best, most underrated, overrated sports video games.
Oh, most underrated NHL hits.
Oh, NHL hits is my
Limp
favorite.
With Biscuit to start off the game, you press start and it's...
Keep rolling, rolling, rolling. Oh, my God. Theo Fleury just wrecking people.
Yeah.
In the, oh, God. It was... Oh,
it's just,
God.
Yeah, it's that song.
Inject it right into
then
my veins.
A montage of hits that, if they happen today in the NHL,
oh, comfortable suspensions. Comfortable suspensions. And they
it was
put, like,
awesome
this, like, cheesy, like, you know, like, graphic, so it looked like, you know, there was fire behind the guys skating, and then, you know, glass breaking when they hit each other. It was the whitest
thing ever. You could play
but,
on
dude,
a pirate
it was
ship.
So much fun. You could play on a pirate ship.
Yeah,
you could play
on space.
You could play on space.
Wild.
I think you could play, was there a cereal
play
bowl
on space
or something?
That's
yeah
crazy.
It was.
There were different, like, oh, God.
Did you ever play the Bigs? Like the baseball game?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like the Bigs, but NHL.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That was also a great game because
it was made by the
good
same guys that did NFL Blitz, too.
Yes.
So, you know,
yes.
So over
NFL
the top.
NFL Blitz.
Hitting.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Yeah. They would pause and watch a bone break.
Yeah, right. Yeah. What was the best arcade sports game? Is it NBA Jam? NFL Blitz is up there.
NBA Jam is a good one.
They did NHL Center Ice. That was like the hockey
arcade
version of it.
I'm
but
trying to think from the arcades. I can't. I don't have much from the arcade.
I think it's NBA Jam.
Yeah,
it
it's
has
probably
to be
NBA
Jam.
Because when I think of arcade, I always just think of like pinball games.
Yeah,
I was
right
gonna say
you
bubble
know
hockey.
Yeah.
But bubble hockey is yeah great. Foosball is great.
But you're also saying like
the car racing
a
games.
Game
the Sega like at NASCAR one was, you know, I forgot. I was like, oh, God, I forgot. It was like Daytona, like it was very, very, very cheesy. But that one was a good one. You could like your car would like flip and explode, and somehow you'd still be like,
yeah, just restart. Like,
yeah,
it would be
it'd
like
just land.
Yeah, you'd be like transparent for a little bit, and
yeah,
then finally
exactly,
you
yeah,
could,
right, yeah. And then your car would be back.
Yeah,
and
you could like run through other people, drive through other people, and then finally, okay, you're solid again. You can't do that anymore. Yeah,
that game was that was a little nuts.
In GTA, you like flip over your car, and you're like, just on your hood, and you just move your controller like left and right, and then it's like
flips over.
Oh, the car's back.
Yeah, right. You just like, got right, you just got to jiggle it back.
That
to
makes
the...
physical sense, right?
Totally. Oh man, 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. If you want to be part of the show, Jeff Lightsey Jr., Nick Valvano, Tintner Bertomesso, in for Bobby V today. A couple of texts here before we get to our bottom of the hour break. I used to wait on John Schnatter, the worst, never above 10% and rude.
Wow.
Oh, okay, wow.
Papa John.
There you go, Papa John. Not the best tipper, evidently.
I've also heard that.
I've heard that as well.
It's kind of wild because he's literally in the food business. Now, granted, it's in the pizza business where they tip drivers. Oh, that's stupid. Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard Devontae Parker's parents are really nice.
Really?
And like good tippers. Yeah.
Jeanette was actually childhood friends with Devontae Parker and said that, yeah, like the God, whole I Parker. I wish you would have stayed in contact with Devontae Parker. Yeah. Like I told her, I was like,
hey, that would be a huge connection to have. Oh, yeah. Well, nah. Things happen. Did she go to Ballard?
She went to Atherton.
Ah.
Yeah. Let's see here. 437-9680. There's only one Death Valley, and at night there are 80,000 drunken Cajun vans full of fresh alligator they killed with their hands. Okay, that's fair.
It's Baton Rouge.
That's
Baton Rouge. LSU.
That's fair. Max said LSU and South Carolina, I remember, as the toughest places to play.
Okay.
I value Max's opinion on that.
Absolutely.
Alabama wouldn't be in my top 20, but wow. Oregon, Virginia Tech, Wisconsin would be in my top 10. The thing with Michigan, they have no second deck, so all the sound doesn't stay in. I was wondering about that because, like, that's the thing that makes Virginia Tech so loud. It goes so hot. Mm-hmm. But,
you know,
the big house is kind of spaced out, so I wondered about that.
That makes sense.
One thing I learned this season about Virginia Tech, because when they came in town, they're pretty loyal fans, so they had traveled pretty well. So there was a few of them, like, around me, and it was like, the cards were on a third down, and they take out their keys and just start jiggling them and making like.
And this
keys
is where
up. It was here.
Oh, here. Oh,
and
okay.
I like turned around. I was like, "Hey, like I'm not like being an ass. Like, what are you guys doing?" And they're like, "Oh no, it's our thing. It's called a key play." Like, so they just jiggle their keys and make noise. Ooh. And I was like, "That would be so annoying if the whole field was doing that."
Right.
But luckily they were away, so it was like 20 people in a section, and I was like, keep working hard, guys. You know, you're getting
well, also, like, a lot of people have just like fobs now. So I can just pull out a fob and shake it. It's not gonna make any noise. So yeah, I don't know how effective that would be. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. The dunk contest on NBA Live 05 is goated.
Oh yes it is.
I never played NBA Live 05. Is it?
Oh no. That like I said, that's the heyday of NBA Live.
Yeah.
Like the 05, 06, like 06 is kinda when it started falling off. And by 07, I think everybody's on 2K.
Right.
But like the dunk contest where you could throw it off the Jumbotron, you could do double underlegs, you could do backflips, all kinds of just wild stuff.
My favorite thing about 2K was the when Blake dunked over a car, the next 2K they're like, yo, we got a Hummer, we got a Prius, we got a truck, like you can dunk over all of them guys. And then I was like, good addition, guys.
Is it just me? And maybe it is just me. No pun intended. I think that the dunk contest was kind of jumped the shark. Like,
because no stars want to do
it. Like,
we've had a G League guy win it 2 years in a row.
Like, yeah. I can't remember who it was, but like, I forgot what year it was, but they did five attempts and like it just kept going and going. Yeah. And I was like, it's kind of losing its luster when it takes you 10 tries to do the dunk.
Well, I think
like the last dunk contest I really enjoyed was Blake Griffin jumping over the car.
Yeah.
And that one, I haven't really followed it.
Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon had some good ones. The thing is,
and I cared about when Donovan was in it.
I think the thing is just NBA All-Star Weekend has kind of lost some luster. The All-Star Game stinks. The dunk contest stinks. The best day is like the celebrity game and the 3-point shootout. Those are the best because they're actually really competing. But with the dunk contest having no stars and no real excitement outside of Mac McClung, it's kind of like. Yeah, nope. So, but the NBA isn't helping because they made All-Star Weekend, instead of, like, guys being there to compete, have a good time, but like to compete during the game, compete during the events, it's kind of like, you know, I don't, you know, I'm just here to hang out and show off my fits.
Do you guys really like that anything. Target score format they do? Where you, they're like, yeah, you have to score like 155.
Well, they got, they
is that the evil ending? Or?
They did that for a while, and then they went back to standard.
All right. This I didn't watch it this year.
But my point exactly. But then they scored like 200 points apiece.
Yeah, I think I watched the first quarter, and I watched Bam Adebayo hit a three. Going to, like, passed it off Jokic's back, out of bounds, takes it off himself, goes through the legs, bangs a three in motion, and then walks back, and I turned off the game. I was like, well, I've never seen Bam do that in the regular season, so I'm done with it. Like, this is not real.
I would love to see maybe teams of five have four teams of five and do like a three-on-three tournament. Mm. Like play it like out in like, you know, like a do playground, Rucker ball. Park or something. And just bring it back to like its roots. That would be
wasn't that
so
supposed
much
to happen
to
though?
Watch.
They were gonna have like some kind of tournament or like round robin at Rucker Park, and then last second it got canceled.
Well, I don't know if the NBA was gonna do that. I'm not saying that wasn't gonna be a thing. It worked for a while when they did kind of like the round robin thing. Like they were, you know, whoever won the quarter, you got like $500,000 or maybe it's $250,000 to your charity of choice, like for every quarter win. And then at the end, they had one, and it worked for like 2 years right after Kobe passed.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it for like 2 years, but then it didn't work. It was like when they drafted players.
Yeah. I didn't hate the draft.
Yeah. The draft thing
I thought
was
that was
cool.
kind of fun.
The drafting was cool, but then I think the players kind of complained a little bit because they were like, oh, I don't like being on TV getting picked last or whatever.
Yeah, right.
So it was kind of like, oh, whatever. That worked better than what they did this past year. I'm interested to see what they do with the game because Silver's talked about like just getting rid of the game altogether.
Well, I mean,
like,
it's getting to that point where it's just, I mean, they're scoring 200 points. I mean, that's
a
piece. I mean,
200 points
a piece. Like, and it's a shame because I feel like it's a game that could actually, I mean, basketball is certainly a contact sport, but it's not a collision sport. So mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, hockey and football kind of have to, you know, navigate those
Absolutely.
Those waters a little bit
Especially
differently.
With these guys getting paid so much.
Yeah, like, yeah. you know, I mean, so.
But you see better runs from these same guys during the offseason. Like,
yeah.
you see them compete harder against each other at a random gym in L.A.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Chris Brickley's gym in New York than they do in the NBA All-Star game.
Like, yeah.
I don't know.
That's why I'd love to see, like, a three-on-three thing mm-hmm. where, you
that'd
know,
be cool.
that'd be cool. I mean, the NHL kind of did that, and, I mean, because they turned it into, like, glorified pond hockey.
Mm.
Like, and it made it a little bit more, brought it back to its roots, because that's how a lot of these guys, you know, play. They would just go to the rink, play pickup, or they would play pond hockey. And, you know, and you can't, as cool as it would be, if you've ever played pond hockey, it's very, very unsafe because the ice is so janky.
Yeah.
I was playing in a pond hockey tournament, and I'm like 25, so I'm still like healthy-ish. You know, I'm a couple years out of playing at U of L, and I was just skating, and because the ice is uneven, I caught a rut, and my knee popped. Mm. And it was not normal for 4 years.
Mm.
Like, and I just was like, and all I was doing was skating from one rink to the other. I wasn't even playing. And I just hit this rut and I was like, Kuh! And I was like, oh, that's not good.
Yikes.
Yeah. But so, I mean, I certainly don't want these multi-billion dollar athletes skating on, you know, like Lake Nokomis, like in Minnesota, like we were. But I'm saying, like, to do like an outdoor game or something like that with like real ice, I think could be kind of fun. And I think that doing something along those lines with the NBA, bringing it back to its roots, in my opinion, would be the best way to save it. But yeah, it's kind of jumped the shark for sure. 437-968 UPS Jobs text line. They stole the keys from the swamp, and when they start ringing, it meant your ass was getting kicked. Now leave. That's funny. Let's see. I used to be a valet downtown. A coworker told me a Bobby Petrino story where he accidentally tipped $110. He meant to just hand him a 10, but grabbed a $100 bill with it, awkwardly looked at him and the cash and gave it to him. The one time I helped Bobby, I greeted him like everyone else. He said, "Do you know who I am?" I said, "Of course, coach." He handed me the keys and a 10 and said, "Thanks." So, all right. It doesn't sound like Bobby Petrino is a terrible tipper there. I did have a friend that, was a valet downtown, and he said that Coach Strong was the nicest guy ever.
He was.
but he was a terrible tipper. Never, but he said, but he said, like, it was almost like he was so nice, like that was like the tip.
Yeah.
Like he would come in and just be like the most friendly, nice dude, but then would stiff him like every single time. But he said, you know what, coach is a good guy. Yeah. And he was just, but he said he was, it was funny because he would always get in his car and gospel music was just blaring. And he was like, coach, love you, but a little charity here. You know, come on. Like,
help me out here, buddy.
Yeah. So I thought that was funny. But he said, he did say that he was a really, really nice guy. They should put the dunk league guys against the NBA guys. I don't know how that would play out.
I think if you just had the dunk league guys go against each other during All-Star Weekend, that'd be awesome.
That'd be fun. That'd be awesome. I think that would be fun, yeah. Have the dunk contest be a 16-player elimination tournament. Don't hate that idea, but you got to get people to compete.
That's the thing. The they can't get 16 NBA guys to compete.
Yeah, that's the problem. So
we can't even get four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, seriously.
Yet again, we have to go to the G League.
We have to go to the G League. But then you do get to see like a Zach LaVine before he was like a superstar, mm-hmm. you know, kind of like emerge there. So
I mean, that's a big part of why they traded him away for Jimmy Butler. They're like, all right, value's at an all-time high. He can dunk. And they're like, Chicago's like, we need that.
Some of his dunks were stupid.
Oh, yeah.
The one now where he's just like underneath him and stuff. Like that was pretty wild. All right, we'll take a bottom of the hour break. It's the V-Show. Jeff Lightsey Jr., Nick Valmano, Tanner Brunemesso in for Bobby V. It's a Tuesday, ESPN 680, 105.7.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Sorry.
What's going on over there?
I can't read this text that just came down.
Oh, man.
Involving Lizzo.
Oh, Lord.
I'll show it to you, see if you can see it. But if you could read the little thing that's underneath there, it's so mean, but it's hilarious. The V-Show rolling along here on ESPN 680, 105.7. A Tuesday, Jeff Lightsey Jr., Tanner Brunemesso, Nick Valvano in for Bobby V today. Very, very funny text that just came down involving Lizzo from 5557. That's funny. but we're rolling right along. I talked to him a little bit about the Stanley Cup win last night. Talked a little bit about the importance of rings in sports and dynasties. And talking a little bit about the ratings for the new EA game in terms of the toughest places to play, and talked a little bit about the NBA All-Star Game and NBA Draft. So a lot of stuff we've covered so far in the show. The fabulous one, Phil Baker, will join at 2 o'clock. Our man James Strebel comes to you with Anna Tarullo today at 3 o'clock here on ESPN 680 105.7. Our man Jeff Lightsey Jr. is going to be with Mark Ennis over on The Drive at 3 o'clock, 93.9 The Bill. So tune into that. A lot of good stuff. Also, we are your home for the Cincinnati Reds. I believe we have their game tonight at 6:40. I think they're taking on the Pirates. So tune in 6:40 for that one. Want to give a shout out to Raising Cane's, our food sponsor today. Just taking care of some business here before we get back into the show. So shout out to Raising Cane's, our food drop for today. Go to their mobile app. I don't have the read in front of me, so I'm freestyling this thing. But order ahead on the Raising Cane's app. And get those delicious chicken tenders and Texas toast and, of course, the cane sauce. Absolutely fantastic stuff there. All right, so do we have this Rich Paul sound we want to play? Tanner, do you have it? We saw something from the fabulous one during the break. Mark Pope is evidently bringing cookies to the media for his
first press conference.
Coach
has ever done that.
So it's funny on a couple of levels. So Drew Franklin, KSR guy, he covers UK.
Right.
He tweeted out that, hey, Mark Pope's got these cookies out for the media members and stuff. And it's like, it just plays into what Pope is. It's kind of corny a little bit, you know. And then Franklin, quote, tweets his own picture and is like, and we used to get assistants. we didn't used to get the head coach. We used to get assistants. Now we get the head coach and cookies. And, all of this stuff sounds so good, right?
Right.
Unless he doesn't start winning.
And then if he starts losing,
it's like, yeah, we got this lame coach that gives cookies and also doesn't win. Cal was arrogant a little bit, but he had earned it. He's Hall of Famer. Right. He sent a gazillion guys to NBA, Hall of Famer, all this stuff. And that stuff got old after a while, especially when you're not winning in March. But you put up with it. Those are the type of things that you put up with. And sometimes you even allude like, oh, we're so cool. We get OVO and we get Drake and we get all this stuff.
Right.
Like that comes with Cal.
All right. I mean, maybe the Drake thing any now.
Yeah. Shout out to Dot. You know?
Like, thank you, Kendrick, for that. I hated him.
But like that stuff was the cool. Like you were cool. And now Pope is bringing it more home. And it's like, it's not as cool. A little corny. But if he wins, it works.
Right.
But if he doesn't win, then that's when you get like, damn, we wish how we had it.
Yeah.
Like, we wish we had the John Walls and the Anthony Davises and the Tyrese Maxeys and all that stuff. And now we got this guy. So, like, yeah, this stuff works for now. And
right.
The guys are on your team because you're giving them access. They're able to talk to you. They're able to reach you. He's doing the car wash, doing all the stuff that Cal wouldn't do because Cal had gotten to the point where he's above that. But if you don't win,
yeah,
that stuff will get really old really fast. So that, I'm fascinated to see how that all kind of works out.
It's a good point you raise. And I think also it's not to the extent, but I also wonder about that with Coach Kelsey.
That's interesting.
They both have personalities that are absolutely, I think, I want to speak especially as a Cards fan.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing I can speak to. You know, I think Coach Kelsey is hitting every single layup and also slamming some dunks as well along the way. I think he is absolutely doing everything that this fan base has been clamoring for. That said, I do think he also has a personality that some of those, I don't want to call them antics. I just think that he has that energy.
Yeah.
That energy about him that is infectious. But if they don't win, I do wonder if that's going to drain on the fans a little bit as well. Now, because right now he is checking all the boxes. He's doing everything that was lacking in this program for 2 years. But I wonder, because we talked about this in the back, which personality, and to a certain extent, Pope's doing the same thing.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know, he's giving cookies to the media as opposed to letting them talk with, you know, Chin Coleman or something
yeah.
like that. Like, you know, so there's definitely a strife there between Cal and the media. And I think a lot of that was his battle with KSR.
Yes.
Like, I mean,
yes. Matt Jones specifically.
Mm-hmm. And let's be honest. I mean, they're the biggest BBN media outlet. Certainly, if you become at odds with them, they're going to influence a lot of the people's opinion about how you treat the media. Now, I don't think that he was having the same issues with John Clay that he was having with Matt Jones.
Yes.
But the whole thing was that he was, you know, curmudgeon-y with the media and everything like that because of those things. But I'm saying, though, I wonder, I agree with you. I feel like these Ted Lasso-esque corny things are not going to play well if you don't win.
Yeah.
But I wonder the same thing with Coach Kelsey with this. I mean, he's very energized and upbeat and everything like that. I wonder if that will drain on fans if he doesn't win as well.
So I have a theory because I've talked about this before. The thing, because we saw something similar with like Rick Pitino. He was different than Cal in a sense of he didn't shun everybody. Like he didn't send out, like when he spoke at press conferences, he spoke because he wanted his voice to be heard.
Right.
And he didn't shun local media, but at the same time, he didn't always utilize it the way you see Pope and the way you see Kelsey. Part of that, the reason why Cal and Rick both, they were more of national brands as opposed to local brands.
Yeah, that's
than
a good
these
point.
Two guys. So like when Rick got to Louisville, he was already a national champion. He was
right.
already on the way to be a Hall of Famer. He coached for the Celtics. Like he was Rick Pitino before Louisville. Now he elevated himself being here during those 17 years. But even before those 17 years, he was Rick Pitino.
Right.
The same said with John Calipari. He was John Calipari, coached the Nets, coached the NBA, went to the Final Fours at UMass and Memphis.
And UMass, right.
But like, he was John Calipari before Kentucky. Now, he elevated himself as John Calipari, but he had a national brand before ever stepping foot in Lexington.
That's
and he
point.
Would have probably been a Hall of Famer even without his stint in Lexington. Once again, elevated all those things. But when you come in with a national brand, when you're already a made man, to use, you know, a sense, that is different than a grinder like a Mark Pope.
Right.
a grinder like a Pat Kelsey. Right. They aren't national brands. Like their names don't carry the same weight
right.
going into this job as those two guys did.
Coach Kelsey even made light of the fact that he was the third choice.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So
embraced it magnificently,
so,
I might add.
And so that's why it is a change of pace for both fan bases. You had Rick Pitino for so long. Now we've just been so bad for the last, let's just call it half a decade, that anything was going to be good and just doing the layups. Whereas Kentucky, UK is coming right off the heels of Cal, right? Like they're coming off, like they're going to have probably two top 10 picks tomorrow, right?
Right.
Like they are, so they're in the middle of a transition that's a little different, but they wanted the difference because they wanted to get back to a guy who is going to embrace the state of Kentucky,
right?
Not just embrace the nation.
Right.
Like, you know, it's like they got so famous with calling themselves a lot of their fans would call themselves the nation, Big Blue Nation. Right. Meaning, but you want to start with Kentucky first before you take over. They became right. Big Blue Nation because of all the guys they were sending all across the NBA, because they became they're a very, very captivated fan base when it comes to basketball. But it was almost like you were forgetting your home base. Like you're forgetting where, like, we still love you in Kentucky too. Like let's not, in X-ing out KSR, but going on SportsCenter
right.
all the time or whatever. Like that kind of detached the, and then sending out the Chin Comans and or Antiguas to do press conferences instead of the head guy, and you're not having March success, then the nation, well, the insular, the Kentucky part of the nation is now turning on you. And that's Mark Pope is like, hey, I'm a Kentucky guy. Right. Like I played here. Yeah, we're going to do the national stuff too, but I'm going to start with home base. And I think that's going to play over well for a while. Just some of the antics, like the cookies, that's kind of just funny. It's a little cheesy, but people are going to love it because he's letting the folks know that he's Kentucky first. And the same is said with Pat Kelsey.
Yeah,
we're going to do the national stuff. Like, hey, if Jim Rome wants me on or whoever, like I'm going to do that. But I'm also going to go on the V Show multiple times before my first game.
Oh, yeah. He's done the car wash for multiple times.
Yes. And I'm going to
It's been awesome.
Yeah. And I'm going to do, you know, he's got a press, like Pope's got his press conference today. Kelsey's got his at 1 tomorrow.
Right.
Like, yeah, or Thursday.
Thursday. Thursday.
So like, yeah, I'm gonna make sure I'm really, really hyper local as well, because these are the people, if things do get rough, these are the folks that are going to make sure to have my back. Even if, you know, if things ever get rough, I need to have my soldiers on the ground versus having everybody all across the country. So I think that is what's going to play well and has played well for both of them so far.
Right. But like, which personality do you think can then be more divisive if there are struggles? And I promise I'm not rivalrying here. I think it's because there's a certain intensity that comes with Kelsey.
Yeah.
And I feel like
game day, especially.
Yeah.
That's going to help.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like his personality, while the high energy and everything like that could rub some people the wrong way if there's some, you know, there's some losses and everything like that or some hiccups along the way. But the intensity, I think, will make up for that. Whereas Pope, I'm not saying that he's not intense, but he does seem
kind
to have
kind of smile and giggles right
he,
now.
He seems
a lot
to
of smile and giggles.
The rapping with the Hamilton and the cookies and everything like that. People that it's Ted Lasso-esque, which when you're winning and you have that is magical.
Yeah,
but can also really, really play against you. I feel like because the fans want you to be mad.
Yeah,
because they're mad. Yeah. Whereas I have no doubt that. Right now, you have two fans or two coaches with two of your most prominent sports in football and basketball here at U of L, where you have confidence that the coach is as mad, if not madder, than you are.
Absolutely.
If they lose. And that resonates with the fans to a certain extent, especially when your last two coaches were Satterfield and Kenny Payne, who were the exact opposite.
Exactly.
Of that. Like, I don't know if necessarily the golly gee type stuff is going to resonate with Big Blue Nation, there are struggles.
No, and that's true, because Pope right now, like with Kelsey, there's video evidence of him getting into it with a player. There's evidence of him snatching shoes and yelling at guys and telling them, hey, if you shoot it's kind of funny to see, but you seen his face when that shoe came off during his practice. He wasn't happy.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, if your shoe comes, like there wasn't a, like we were smiling watching right. it, but he's like, if your shoe comes off during practice, I'm taking it outside, I'm throwing it.
Right.
Imagine that, driving by the practice facility.
See Coach Kelsey out there just hawking his shoe.
Yeah, like that's
just
hilarious.
A size 15 shoe yeah. just goes through your windshield.
But if you're a player, you're pissed. You're like, yo, what the F are you doing? Like, no, but like that's something that can really make you mad. And so that part, at least for Kelsey, he's not just all, you know, smiles and giggles. Well, right now it looks like that. I'm not saying it is that, Kentucky fans, but it looks like that from Pope. And like you said, if there is any struggle, especially knowing that you let Cal walk.
Yeah.
If there's any struggles with a lot of the smile and giggles and it doesn't become a little bit more intense and Cal's doing whatever he's doing at Arkansas, say it's awesome, there may be some buyer's remorse there. So that's the thing. Whereas Kelsey, he's not going to have any of that because he's coming off Kenny Payne.
Right.
You know, it's like it's totally different. Like you're just happy with him just doing radio shows, right? Like doing basic stuff. Whereas Cal didn't always do all of that stuff, but he did
the stuff.
And he was John Calipari. He's a Hall of Famer. He's winning a bunch of games. He's putting a bunch of guys
tons
in the
NBA. Of guys in the
he
league.
Just wasn't winning in March. Whereas if Mark Pope doesn't even get to that part, right? Like winning a bunch of games, beating teams on the road, having exciting moments, the smile and giggle stuff will get old really fast.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree wholeheartedly with that. He's Jeff Whitesy Jr., Nick Valvano, Tanner Bernameso in for Bobby V today on The V Show. 267-9680 is the calling number, 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line if you want to be part of the show. Both sticks will wear thin quickly if they don't produce success. The guy could be the second coming of Red Auerbach and Coach K. If he's not winning, people are going to be upset about it. But I do think it's interesting that they both have certain personalities. Like they both have like personalities, which is a good thing. Personalities are a good thing, especially when you're winning, especially when you're trying to galvanize a fan base. But those personalities can be used against you if they're struggles. But I do agree with everything Jeff just said. I feel like Mark Pope, and also because of the Cal factor,
that's heavy. That's going to loom heavy for a while. Yeah. Like, it just is what it is, especially since he's still coaching, too, in your conference.
Right. Yeah. Kenny Payne is an assistant.
Exactly. Yeah, and he was Kenny Payne.
And he was Kenny Payne. It was the two worst years in, you know, in the history of Power 5 basketball in your program's history. So, 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Easy there. You all love Sat when he was cheese. When he was winning in his first year, I do think, and again, I think that is what the fan, the players and the fans to a certain extent needed a little bit. The players needed to be loved up after we heard all the horror stories of Bobby. Mm-hmm. And Bobby had some stuff going on his last year. I don't think you can completely hold everything against him. You know, he lost his father. That's I can only imagine. But I'm saying that he was never known as a warm and fuzzy guy.
No.
But he became all the more distant in his final year, it seemed like.
And
so that cheesy resonated originally. But then when the losses started piling up, the cheesy was used against him.
And we can't forget the South Carolina job interview. And that's also, where everything went downhill for Sat.
That's a good point.
Like when you interview South Carolina,
you
don't want to be here
from that.
Like you don't want to like that to me. So it was like all that stuff that now I think it's fake.
Yeah, true. And authenticity, it seemed disingenuous.
Yeah,
right.
Like authenticity matters. Like to be real, at least for people to perceive you as real. And as soon as they peel back the curtain and realize you're not authentic, like this is actually a facade or whatever. You got one foot out the door. Nah, you're not coming back from that.
Yeah, and so now and he never did.
And to sometimes people can be unfairly harsh. And so when things got rough for him, people became, whether you feel like it was fair or unfair, they became extremely harsh because I remember what you did.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So that happened.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know. I mean, we love Sat, but I don't know if we always love the cheese.
Yeah.
To be fair. 437-968 UPS Jobs text line. Myron Metcalf even called Cal out for not doing any media the last 4 years. Mm. No, that's true. He called him out. Pat Forty was also he basically came on our airwaves and said that Coach Cal tried to get him fired.
Wow.
So that was, it wasn't like it was just KSR he was having issues with.
Once you have the media turned against you on multiple levels,
locally, and nationally.
And you're not producing in March. Like, you're getting all these NBA dudes, and you're not producing in March, and you're going after these media guys, like these media giants. Like, Pat Forty is a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, whether you love him or hate him, Matt Jones is a big deal.
Yeah.
And you're not producing when you're what you get paid for. You don't necessarily get paid for NBA draft picks. Like, you get paid for tournament success. Like, right. That's why they got you there. Like, they hang banners and rep. They don't – for championships, not for Final Fours.
Right.
And so, therefore, when you're going after all these media people, you're not doing your media availability, and you're losing to St. Peter's and Oakland.
You're not helping your case. Come on, man. You're not helping your case at all, for sure. 437-9680 UPS job sex line. I bet Pope is the easier coach to play for when things aren't going great. Through 40 games is a long time, and being locked in for a whole season would be exhausting. I don't know. We'll see. I'd be lying if I said I was super familiar with all of his BYU teams. I'd be lying if I said I was super familiar with all of Coach Kelsey's College of Charleston
teams.
That's
true.
So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see this year how the teams fare.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that it definitely seems that Coach Kelsey has an intensity. We'll see if that shows signs of fatigue maybe later in the season, the way we kind of saw with some Patino teams at times. There was definitely some talk of the practices being too hard. I don't know. I don't see any of that. You know, it's kind of early to tell right now.
Yeah, it's early, and it's a new day and age, too.
Also, it's a new day and age, new type
of players, a transfer portal, is NIL, all those factors that Patino didn't have to deal with while he was here. I think, too, though, what I will say is, now granted, these were on different levels, different type of competition, different schools. Like, Kelsey's last 2 years, he's won, like, almost 60 games.
Right.
Like, he did 31 2 years ago and, like, 27, 28 last year. So, whatever he's doing, it works.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, it works. And so those things bode well. Will that transition as you go up a level, as the players are you're able to recruit a different type of player, as the players are making a different type of money as far as NIL? Like, what does that look like? How do you balance that? All of those things matter. Whereas I will say Pope, even though he's at BYU, they were in the Big 12.
Right.
You know, then BYU has its own set of rules, which are a lot more strenuous than Kentucky.
Right,
you
know what I mean?
Like,
right.
You can get away with a lot more in Kentucky, like having a girl in your apartment versus, you know, not doing that at
Shutter.
Yeah, exactly. So what does that look like as well? Because Coach Pope is a Mormon and he follows those sets of rules, whereas in his players, they all follow the same set. Now you're at UK where it's a little different. So, like, all of those will take – we'll see how these two guys adjust
right.
with the transition of playing a different style of basketball or playing – being at the – two of the premier programs in a
different
the entire,
scenario, different situation.
Entire college basketball.
Dare I say we need to let the cake bake.
And
we'll see. There it is.
The Belvedere special.
There it is, baby. I could go for some cake right now. I will crawl in a bunker with Pope. He's been in battles on the biggest stages with victories. I'm not sure what the brightest lights will do for Pat. Like we said, different scenario, different situation. I will say this, though. I liked Chris Mack, but I was consistent in saying this. That one of the things that worried me was I wasn't sure he was. I was a little afraid he might be too wound too tight, or not be able to deal with the spotlight that was U of L when he was coming from a major league sports city that was Cincinnati. When he was doing the best he could at Xavier, and he had some great success at Xavier, he was still always fourth on the sports page behind UC, behind the Reds, and behind the Bengals in that reverse order. So, and sure enough, when he came here, he was a little curmudgeon-y with the media and everything like that, and it seemed like the bright lights got to him. I'm not saying that he wouldn't, you know, with time here, he wouldn't have turned things around and been successful, but it definitely seemed like that was something that negatively affected him.
Chris Mack should have been better here.
I totally agree.
He should have been, like, that should have worked.
Right.
Why it didn't work, it's you can point to a number of reasons, but that should have worked. But I think to your point, his personality didn't help.
No.
The Dino Gaudio thing didn't help.
No, it did not.
Him getting rid of probably the best assistant coach in college basketball now, Luke Murray,
right,
didn't help. No. You know, all of those
things.
And also
losing his father on the sidelines, that didn't help either.
Bill Murray.
We need Bill Murray on.
Yeah, that would have been nice to have some more.
So, we
could have had more fun with Bill Murray.
Yeah, like all of that stuff. But his resume, his basketball acumen, all of that stuff. It should have worked, and it did for a while.
Well, I mean, he had the number one team in the nation. Exactly. While he was here. It wasn't it was an abject failure.
They literally, like today, UofL basketball put out a video of Jordan Wara talking about that Michigan game, but talking about his time at Louisville, which was mostly under Chris Mack.
It feels so weird to look at it and just see, like, that's a number one next to Louisville. Oh, yeah, we were number one ranked for a little bit. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, all of that should have worked. It just was circumstances and things that took place, and essentially him saying, him being too wound up and saying, hey, I'm not cut out for this.
Yeah.
Like, because when stuff hits the fan, you have to be able to embrace, you know, take on those challenges. And he just was like, nah, I'm actually.
Yeah, when push came
to
shove, it was like, you know what? I'm okay taking the $4 million and walking away. I do think, though, and I don't know, again, let the cake bake. We got to see how the season plays out and everything like that. I have been very impressed with Coach Kelsey.
Yeah.
And he is, because he is the first coach since I've been working here. That has taken a proactive approach with the media, and it's been very refreshing. So I'm not saying that the lights might not, you know, we'll get to him or anything like that. I'm just saying that so far with what we've seen, he's hit the layups, he's embraced the spotlight, and he seems to get that he's under a microscope here.
Yeah.
And instead of shying away from it, he's run towards it.
Yeah.
And knocked it out of the park, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. Three more texts before we get out of here. Well, let's be fair. Pat Forty tried for years to get Cal fired. I don't know about that. Let's see here. I mean, he was just opinionated. I don't know if he was necessarily trying to get him fired. But have you seen the Hoosier media blasting Woodson today on Twitter?
I have.
What is that about?
So there's a podcast, Indiana-based podcast, and they like go in on Woodson. I haven't listened to it yet, but apparently it's like really good. But they kind of peel back the curtain on Woodson as the coach at IU, some of the struggles and some of the reasons why he hasn't had the success they feel like he should have had. I haven't listened to it, but I heard it's pretty good.
All right, I'm going to have to explore that one. We haven't touched on a lot of Indiana stuff so far today, but if he's in the news, let's not pretend. Do what?
He said we never do.
We touch on Indiana a little bit sometimes, kind of a little. Only requirement I had was a 70% winning percentage. Crum and Pitino were 70%, Chris Mack 66%, Pegues 44%, KP 12%. So yeah, as the numbers started going down, I was like, oh boy, here we go. So yeah,
I just heard that sound of James telling Blank and Diener that they're like, yeah, Pegues. Or it was like when Kenny won his seventh, he goes, yeah, Pegues did it in like 14 games. And then Diener and Blank were like, why have we never noticed that? That is insane.
Oh, boy. All right, we'll take a top of the hour break. Phil Baker will join us, the fabulous one. We'll sprint to the finish line. It's Jeff Lightsey Jr., Nick Valvano, Tanner Bertomesso in for Bobby V today on ESPN 680 105.7.